The cranberry usually plays a humble role on the American dinner table, but come Thanksgiving, it's front and center stage, starring as sauce. The tart berry, one of just a few native to North America, got its start here in New England. Living on Earth's Emily Taylor and Dennis Foley found that around this time of year, the cranberry is ripe for thought.
My name is Leo Kakunis, and I run Cape Farm Supply and Cranberry Company. Naturally, what I think of when I hear the word cranberry is my mortgage payment, because we basically, that's what we do for a living, is grow cranberries.
Thanksgiving time. So cook them up for turkey.
Decoration with cranberries. I decorate during Christmas time with cranberries myself.
I suppose cranberry sauce is, you know, having a like Thanksgiving dinner. Definitely the theme.
There's a lot of nostalgia with cranberries associated with Thanksgiving, and that's understandable. But for us, it's a crop that we grow for a purpose of making a living.
Well, I used to go wild cranberry picking on the Cape with my dad. He'd always take me up in the dunes and show me all the hot spots.
Fifth grade. I don't know. I think I had a dream about a bog. Like, I was, like, in this cranberry. I don't know. It was kind of weird, but fifth grade.
When I think of cranberries, I think of coyotes, because on Cape Cod, there's tons of cranberry bogs, and around them, thousands of coyotes live there.
Since I was a child, and I think I was fascinated the first time I saw a cranberry bog.
Bogs and Cape Cod.
The harvesting process of cranberries is probably the most interesting process, because that's the time of year most people want to come and see a cranberry bog.
Did you ever go to the cranberry bog? Some of the houses are hewed out of logs. The walls are of boards, they are sawed out of pine, that grow in this country called cranberry mine.
There's two basic kinds of harvesting. There's the dry harvest. The dry harvest is done first, usually mid-September. It's done when the bog has to be completely dry. That means no dew or anything on it. The dry harvesting produces what's called the fresh fruit, which is the large cranberries that you buy in the store that the consumer ends up buying, the actual cranberry itself.
He eats them plain, right out of the box. He and his sister both love to eat the cranberries plain.
I actually eat them plain a lot. I remember going to the museum and seeing them bounce down the little stairway for grading. You know, we just pop them in our mouth.
I feel very puckered up and feel like I'm going to eat something sour, and I'm not interested at all.
The first time I had real cranberry sauce made with whole cranberries, I was blown away. It was marvelous stuff.
The second kind of harvest, which is probably most familiar to people, is called the wet harvest. And we drive a machine out on the bog which beats the berries off the vine and then corral them with either boards or a cranberry barrier. And then those berries are pumped or loaded into an open truck with a conveyor. And then they're shipped to the supplier, and they're actually called processed fruit. Those berries become your concentrate for drinks. They become your cranberry sauce.
For years, I had thought cranberry sauce was a stuff shaped like a can.
When I was a kid, the only cranberries we ever ate were, you know, out of the can. But my mom, she would just put it on the plate, like whole in this gelatinous mass, you know, and she'd open up one end and it would just like ooze out the other end and be like slurping sound.
The canned cranberry sauce is almost never good.
The stuff in the can, you just sort of squish it out of the can and it sits there and jiggles on the plate.
Slice it.
That's right, and you slice it. You can't even serve it with a spoon.
The market for fresh fruit hasn't really increased that much. There are still some people out there who are dedicated to buy fresh cranberries and serve them on their Thanksgiving table, and we think that's wonderful. But we are really working hard producing new products, hoping that we can get into the candy market and the cereal market, which will pretty much help us year-round, as opposed to waiting for one Thanksgiving dinner to pay our bills.
How sweet it is! Our Cranberry Audio postcard was produced by Emily Taylor and Dennis Foley. Next week on Living on Earth, attention shoppers, 'tis the season to hop into the car and head to the mall. A retail anthropologist is our guide.
I think retail is one of the dipsticks to the changes in our culture. That what makes a good store, what makes a good shopping mall, is in a constant state of evolution.
The Science of Shopping, next week on Living on Earth. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Ashley Ahern, Eileen Belinsky, Tobin Hack, Ingrid Lobet, Emily Taylor, and Jeff Young, with help from Bobby Bascom and Kelly Cronin. Our interns are Ian Gray and Jennifer Percy. Coverage of the Nairobi Climate Conference was funded in part by the Alliance of Communicators for Sustainable Development. Dennis Foley is our technical director. Our executive producer is Steve Kerwood. Allison Lirish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us at loe.org. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Ford Foundation, the Geraldine R. Dodge Foundation, and the Saunders Hotel Group of Boston's Lenox and Copley Square Hotels, serving you and the environment while helping preserve the past and protect the future. 800-225-7676.
PRI, Public Radio International.